Hello, everybody. So here I am, Jordan Ireland. So we're just a few days into the United Kingdom's general election campaign. Feels like the wheels are coming off the Conservative campaign. Rishi Sunak had a day off, only 2 days of campaigning. That was too much for him. And all right, you know, he's got two youngish children, wants to spend some time with them, but he's going to need his energy because the campaign's going to go on for almost another 6 weeks. But was he having to lie down in a darkened room because he just couldn't take it anymore? I think he's exhausted and the party's generally run out of steam. So I think he just wants to get it over with because he could resign as prime minister, but he thinks probably, no, let's go down in a blaze of inglory. Right. Does that even exist? Probably not. Well, it's my neologism. So the Conservatives, they're often attacking Labour's record, pointing out what Labour has done wrong. You know, the attempt to stop the boats, Labour voted against that many times. Labour voted against increasing police numbers and things like that. So that you have to vote Conservative because you'll have these terrible people coming in if you don't vote Conservative. But now the latest pitch is to bring back national service. And I thought this really is scraping the bottom of the barrel. National service, the United Kingdom had it from the outbreak, well, actually slightly before the outbreak of the Second World War, part of the UK to show France that the United Kingdom was serious about the Polish guarantee, carried on through the Second World War, finally phased out by 1963. So most young men, virtually all young men from the age of 18 to 22 had to do a compulsory military service, and they could choose the Army, the Royal Navy, the Royal Air Force, the Marines, really part of the Navy. Very few conscientious objectors, under 1% conscientious objectors. If you qualified as a doctor, you could go and work in Nyasaland or somewhere like that, as it then was. And I don't know about ultra-Orthodox Jews, because you think, well, did they wear the uniform? Did they have to eat this food which wasn't kosher? I'm not aware of an exemption for them. But he's supposedly going to bring that back. It's not necessarily going to be military. You could do some other sort of social service. So it will be compulsory, but then they're saying, no, it'll be voluntary. You'll be asked to do it. You could say no. So it's just idiotic. So the British Army is its lowest level in troops for 300 years. 75,000 troops will spend all their time training these people. By the time they're half decent soldiers, they'll leave after a 12-month. I mean, it's idiotic. It's a complete non-starter. And obviously, most people in the United Kingdom are actively anti-patriotic, realize jingoism is distasteful too. It's twaddle. And I remember that Spiv, that snake oil salesman, that absolute scumbag and fork-tongued fiend, David Cameron, came up with the same nonsense back in 2010, the compulsory military service, or not service, compulsory service of some kind, could be military, could be civilian. He said, can we afford to do this? We can't afford not to do it. And as soon as he got into government, he didn't do it. So the UK could afford not to do it. It was just an idiotic campaign pledge. Did he even believe what he was saying? Presumably not. So he's a PR spiv and obviously thought he was just going to scrape the gutter for a few more votes as the demagogue he is. And obviously did the trick. If national service is so important, why didn't you do it, David? You didn't volunteer for Her Majesty's Armed Forces. You never worked for a charity. You still don't work for a charity. Never, ever have. Never get a penny to charity, so far as I know. So taking away people's civil liberty, it's idiotic. And it's not going to work. And what are you going to do? These people don't turn up, jail them. So we totally don't need to do it. Now, volunteering to work for charity, to visit elderly people in their homes, to clean the streets, to pick up rubbish. I've done some of this stuff to help the homeless, to help little children read, to join the armed forces. That's all very laudable, but people shouldn't be compelled to do it. So the Conservative Party is so short of ideas. Anyway. So Keir Starmer says he'll cut the voting age to 16 if he wins. Well, I'm not surprised because a youthquake, the younger you are, the more likely you are to vote for them. Now, the Tory campaign, one of the ways it's misconceived is focused very heavily around the Prime Minister, whose approval ratings are appalling. He's the second most unpopular member of the cabinet at a 23. And why on earth would you focus on him? Have other cabinet people out front and centre, not him. Talk about policies, not about that individual. Now, go back to Theresa May, 2017. Her approval ratings were sky high, more popular than the party. She's going to pull them up. So unsurprisingly, it focused very heavily on her as an individual, even though she's actually a rather retiring person. Is not a showgirl, didn't go in there because she wants the glitz and the glamour and the limelight. And that worked because contrasting her against Corbyn, who was less popular in this party. But people say that election campaigns make no difference. Well, look at the 2017 one. It looked like the Tories were going to absolutely run away with it, smash Labour by 20 percentage points. It was going to be a victory for the Conservatives to outpace 1983. But in fact, May almost snatched defeat from the jaws of victory and won by only 2 percentage points. So Labour played a blinder of a campaign. Corbyn electrified people. He connected people. People thought, used to think he'd never get anywhere even near the shadow cabinet. But no, he was a fantastic communicator and he enthused people. It was just effervescing amongst the Tudor generation and they won the battle of social media. So they went up 20 percentage points in that election campaign almost. Right. So things could shift a lot. I think most people have made up their minds. A lot of people are sick of 14 years of Conservative misrule, maladministration. They'd see it, which is why I really think nothing can save the Conservatives. I don't think they're making it even worse by being uninspiring. And this completely nincompoop idea to overemphasize Rishi Sunak, who's unpopular, who just doesn't have the common touch. And it can't crack gags. He's not like someone like Boris Johnson, who would appeal to people who are not natural conservatives. The 30% of the population who are not floating voters, almost none of those will vote conservative this time. The conservatives down to its core vote, 30% of the population, might be even fewer. Maybe some very unhappy conservatives because of their disgruntlement will vote Reform UK or simply not vote at all. So, I mean, one of the few attractive things is the Conservatives saying they will cut national insurance. Hooray. But then cutting inheritance tax. Well, that is a massive boost to the rich, not for good people. But Rachel Reeves saying that she will, the shadow chancellor, not play fast and loose public finances. Now, one of my friends knew her when she was the Bank of England in the 90s. And sorry, very competent, very credible, courteous. I think she'll be a good chancellor, actually, even though she'll inherit a very tough situation. The first female chancellor exchequer ever. So the Conservatives can't really talk about fiscal responsibility after the whole Liz Truss debacle. But anyway, fortunately, she's actually keeping her face out of the media. And she published that book, 10 Years Left to Save the West, a couple of months ago. Deeply unhelpful for Sunak shortly before election campaign. He needs the public to be reminded of her like he needs a hole in the head. Obviously, just wish that she would vanish. She could be erased from the memory banks of the public. And if you can't achieve that erasure, could you please just shut up and disappear? But anyway, she just doesn't get it. So the Conservative campaign is not going well, I've got to say. So some rather wooden moments, very awkward attempts to connect with so-called real people. Of course, there'll be staged, managed rallies where only Conservatives are allowed in. These things are completely choreographed. I know the Tories used to savage Labour for being so false when they artificially create this scene of positivity of the Labour leader surrounded by people with Vote Labour placards and so on, and woo on command. It's all choreographed. But the Conservatives do exactly the same, and I've been involved in some of these rallies. So the whole thing is so false, just campaigning for the media to present images of success, popularity, whatever. You don't want any hecklers. You don't want the person being booed. Those are not the sort of visuals we want to put out. But yeah, so it's all just so uninspiring and drab. But remember, some people are able to vote 2 weeks before polling day. About 25% of people vote by postal ballot these days. So you often want to peek about then. Because by the time polling day is in, about 25% of the ballots will be in already. Yeah, so I don't know what big surprises, what they can pull out of the hat, the Tory campaign. But at the moment, they might seem to be making it actually even worse for themselves. But bear in mind, Conservatives on something like, 27% in the polls? You look at various independent polls, the polar polls. Conservatives usually do a bit better than the polls say. The timid Tory factor, people are afraid to admit even to complete stranger, a pollster, you're anonymous, I don't care who you are, never speak to you again, who are you going to vote for? Because you'll be called greedy, capitalist, fascist, racist, whatever, reactionary, if you admit you're going to vote Conservative. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.